What better today, friend? Welcome to the Advantage Joy at Work podcast. I'm thrilled that you've joined me here as I help marketplace leaders unstuck their true potential to thrive in life and leadership, to build successful, sustainable business with collaborative, high-performance teams and joy at work with practical, neuroscience-based advantage guides and coaching. If you need an outside voice with a fresh perspective to challenge and empower you, your team, or business to a new level of performance and engagement, then let's talk now. Why joy at work matters. In this guidepost, we're going to talk about how we are always in pursuit of happiness. But happiness is based on chance, and it's not something that can be constantly achieved. Pleasure. Well, pleasure is also temporary and not something that should be constantly strived for. Instead, we should be focusing on having joy, which is more internal and based on making peace with yourself. To have joy at work, we should focus on leveraging our talents and doing something purposeful for others. Although it will take time and effort, the benefits, oh, they're so worth it in the end. This guidepost is going to answer the following questions. What is the problem with the pursuit of happiness? What are the benefits of having joy or aiming for joy instead of happiness? Thirdly, what does the research show about the benefits of being happy at work? And what did the Energy Project find were the benefits of going beyond engagement? Fifthly, what is the most underutilized way to increase productivity, engagement, and performance? And we'll look at what are the three things that bring joy in the workplace? And finally, how can you have joy at work? Seeking pleasure, finding joy. When you ask people what they want in life, and if I asked you, the number one answer is happiness. I want to be happy. But there's a real problem with the pursuit of happiness found in the root of the word, which is hap, H-A-P, which is the same hap in perhaps, haphazard, happenstance, and happen. It means luck, chance, or fortune. And to have happiness means it has to happen to you. And another problem, when many people think about happiness, they really think about what gives them pleasure and having more of those things. Pleasure is extrinsic, it's visceral, and it's temporary. Joy, on the other hand, is more consistent and it's cultivated internally. Joy comes when you make peace with who you are, why, and how. Whereas happiness is externally triggered and based on other people, places, things, events, and thoughts. Aiming for joy is far more beneficial and less transitory. So how can you have joy at work? Imagine someone created a green pill. This green pill adds years to your life. It reduces the risk of having a heart attack or stroke. It cuts your risk of Alzheimer's disease by more than 50%. It helps you relax during the day and sleep better at night. It doubles your chances of staying drug and alcohol free after treatment. It activates your natural killer cells. It diminishes your inflammatory cells. It increases your good cholesterol, that's the HDL version, and it repairs your DNA. What if this imaginary green pill reduced hospitalization so much that it put a big dent in every country's national health crisis? Oh, and as a special bonus, it gives you better sex. The company that made this green pill would be worth gazillions, right? The green pill's inventors, well, they'd win Nobel Prizes and have institutes named for them. But it's not a green pill. It's the resilience of fulfilling your purpose. And it's free. And you get side effects, more friends, greater happiness, deeper engagement in life, and better sex. Now imagine a red pill. And this red pill makes your work almost effortless, yet simultaneously fulfilling. Every moment of work you are in the zone, you're flowing, and your performance is so good. And your productivity increases, and you are more engaged with your work and with your colleagues. The company who made that red pill would be worth even more gazillions. And businesses would be clamouring for their workers to take this magnificent drug so they could profit even more and keep staff happily employed and engaged for years to come, at higher wages with shorter working hours and greater productivity. Well, those red pills, they'd be flying off the shelves faster than a speeding bullet. But it's not a red pill. It's leveraging your talent. And it's also free. So a question for you. What if you take both the green pill and the red pill? What if you were joyful at work? You found deep pleasure in doing what you do, and it felt effortless, and your job was meaningful for you. I've worked with so many people who want this to be true for them, and I'm pretty certain you do too. And there is a way that you can have this. I must warn you, this is not a magic trick for instant success. It's not a silver bullet that will instantly make everything bad disappear. Some things will appear to be magical, but they're actually social cognitive neuroscience. Some things are going to turn your world on its head. It will take you some time and effort. So if you don't like taking on things that take time and effort, just turn back now before you get a glimpse of the potential joy you could be having at work. Okay, what do you want out of life? You want to be happy, right? Of course you do. Ask anyone what they want in life, and the vast majority will reply they want to be happy. They want their partner to be happy. They want their kids to be happy. They want their entire family to be happy. Ask them if they're happy at work, and you'll be met with a kind of smirk, as if you've completely lost your marbles. Ask them if they experience joy at work, and they'll laugh at the absurdity of the idea. Yet a 2015 study shows that happy staff are 12% more productive than unhappy staff. And happiness has an even greater impact in sales, raising sales by a whopping 37%. And we've known this for years, centuries even. 3,000 years ago, the wisest and wealthiest man who ever lived understood this. And I'm quoting him. So I decided that there was nothing better for a man to do than to enjoy his food and drink and his job. And that was Solomon in Ecclesiastes 2:24 from the Living Bible translation. So every organisation everywhere has implemented fantastic training and coaching to make sure that their staff are all happy. This is immediately evident as you walk into almost any workplace in any country, how everyone is smiling, laughing, being friendly, helpful, cooperating, How they're so joyful, it's contagious, you cannot help but smile and wish earnestly that you could join that organisation and get paid handsomely for having fun and enjoying every day. Or perhaps not. In The Happiness Advantage, Sean Acall's research shows that an individual's job success is 25% predicated by IQ. Meanwhile, 75% is predicated by your optimism levels. Your social support and your ability to see stress as a challenge instead of a threat. In short, your success is largely dependent on your happiness. Conventional wisdom holds that if we work hard, we will be more successful. And if we are more successful, then we will be happy. This is broken and backwards. The problem is twofold. One, when you achieve, i.e. your brain has a success, you just change the goalpost of what success looks like. Now, success is beyond, and you never, ever achieve it. So if happiness is based on success and you never achieve success, you cannot achieve happiness. Let that one sink in. Secondly, by raising a brain's positivity in the present, they gain a happiness advantage and the brain performs significantly better than a negative, neutral, or stressed. Intelligence rises, creativity rises, energy levels rise, and every single business outcome improves. Increased 31% in productivity, greater resilience, less burnout, less staff turnover, 37% greater sales. But being happy isn't enough. Being happy isn't the only ingredient to a life well lived. I spent several days recovering in hospital from a quadruple bypass. While I was there, I spoke with many other patients who had had similar close calls to meet their maker. And two things became abundantly clear. Firstly, those with a positive and grateful attitude recovered a lot more rapidly and were discharged sooner. And secondly, the closer someone had been to death, the more determined they were to live a life filled with meaning, and that always, always meant doing something for other people. Why this matters to your organisation? Well, the statistics on workplace engagement are grim, to say the least. Depending on the survey you read, anywhere between a whopping 70% of employees in America do not feel engaged at work. Around the world, that increases to 87% who are not engaged. In Singapore alone, where I'm based, a Gallup survey has 77% of employees are unengaged and 6% are actively disengaged. Going beyond engagement, the Energy Project, and I'm linking that in the notes, undertook a survey with Harvard Business School. They found that employees who derive purposeful meaning and significance from their work were more than three times as likely to stay and reported 1.7 times higher job satisfaction, and they were 1.4 times more engaged at work. Increasing a sense of purposefulness at work is one of the most potent and underutilized ways to increase productivity, engagement, and performance? What if employees were happy and derived significance and meaning from their work, aligned to their own purpose in life? Wouldn't that be joy at work? The word joy appears 214 times in the New International Version Bible, and it's always associated to living in your purpose. When psychology, neuroscience, and the Bible concur, I kind of get excited to find out more. Don't you? So what brings joy in the workplace? We derive joy from our using our talents and strengths. We derive joy from doing something purposeful, meaningful, and significant. And we derive joy from our relationships at work and at home. We are joyful when we feel as if we are in control and we feel safe and optimistic and that we matter. And we get most joy from doing something for others. Yeah, money helps, but only to a point. Do you dare to have joy at work? We'll find out in our next Advantage Joy at Work guide. Be blessed. I'm Dr. John Kenworthy, and it's been my pleasure to share this Joy at Work Advantage guide with you today. Thank you for joining me and supporting my work. Remember, if you ever think that you might benefit from an outside voice with a fresh perspective to challenge and empower you, your team or your organization to a new level of performance and engagement, then let's talk now. You can follow the link at my website, joyatwork.coach. And if you know someone you know would benefit from this Joy at Work guide, please share this with them either by sharing the podcast link, or if you're listening on the Joy at Work website, it's even easier to just click the share button.